Well, good evening, everyone. It's great to be here. I expect that, like me, over the years, you've had a Christmas or two that haven't been as you expected them to be. Saying that makes me think of the Christmas when everybody gave me socks, and by the end of Christmas Day, I think I had about 13 pairs. Or I remember the Christmas Eve when my nanny died. Or the time when my mum forgot to take the turkey out the freezer in time for Christmas Day, so we had to have it Boxing Day and settle for salad. Or there's the year when I fainted into my food because I had bronchitis. And the year that we shared our children's sickness bug with everybody that we visited. Before you all start to feel sorry for me, there have of course also been those magical Christmases when everybody's been healthy, everyone's got on, and we've had days of fun and laughter. But this year has to be up there as one of the Christmases that no one expected. All our situations will be unique to us, but we are all experiencing the impact of living with the global pandemic that has swept our world this year. This time last year, an unknown virus was beginning to be seen in China. And even as the word coronavirus entered our vocabulary, none of us imagined the effect it would have. Even in our wildest dreams, none of us thought that it would lead to such restrictions on our lives, or that they would still be in place at Christmas time in such a real way. Everything that we usually do to prepare for and celebrate Christmas has been affected. This is truly a Christmas no one expected, and indeed for us here, one no one expected even 48 hours ago. And it struck me that likewise, the events of that first Christmas were what no one had expected in so many ways. The arrival of a Messiah figure who would save God's people was expected at some point. We've heard two prophecies about that from the Old Testament, about a light dawning to take God's people out of darkness, about a king who would bring peace and justice and righteousness, about a shepherd who would care for his flock and enable them to live in security. The Messiah was anticipated at some point, and Israel was looking for him. But when he came, it was unexpected. In the history of Israel, God had been silent for 400 years. There'd been no fresh prophecies, and many had stopped looking, had given up living with a sense of expectation. But now God was on the move once more. And the way in which he was moving and intervening in his world was not what you would have expected. If you or I had been in charge, would we have chosen a baby as the way in which God would come and be with his people and save them? Would we have thought it a good idea to come in the form of someone so vulnerable and dependent on others for their survival? And God chose for this baby to be born into a situation of scandal and shame and disgrace in choosing Mary, a young teenage girl still yet to be married to Joseph. That meant that only those looking and open would see who this baby was. There were good reasons for it being Bethlehem. As we heard, Bethlehem was named in that prophecy in Micah. And also that the Messiah would reign on King David's throne. And so Jesus was born in the town of David's birth. And his earthly father, Joseph, was in the family line of David. Yet humanly speaking, Bethlehem was a tiny backwater village, insignificant and small. And when the wise men come looking for Jesus, as we'll hear in a minute, they go to the obvious place, Jerusalem, the capital city of the Jews, and to the palace. They have to be redirected. Tiny Bethlehem, overcrowded conditions, a makeshift bed for the baby where animals feed. those would not be high on the list of expectations for the arrival of a king. And then there's the way in which the birth of Jesus is announced. When Prince George was born in 2013, there was global media interest. The announcement was placed on the easel outside Buckingham Palace. Church bells rang out, there were gun salutes across the world, and iconic landmarks were lit up. That's what you would expect for a future king. By contrast, the announcement of Jesus' birth was quite a show from the angels, but made during the middle of the night, privately, and to a group of shepherds, not to rulers or religious people. But to shepherds going about their ordinary lives. They were poor, uneducated, unclean, near the bottom of the social scale. To them comes the announcement of a savior, Christ the Lord, and not the expected rescuer from political oppression, but bringing a different kind of peace, peace of mind and peace of soul. And the angels say that this is good news for all people. And that's the surprise of the wise men's visit. They are not Jews, they are foreigners, but they are too called to worship this king. The events of that first Christmas were full of the unexpected, God coming in the form of a baby at that time, using the insignificant, the young, the disgraced, the fearful, the ordinary, the outsider. So given all that, I wonder what your expectations of God are. Perhaps that if he does exist, he's too aloof, too far away, and has no understanding of my life. That he'll only accept me when I've put my life in some kind of order. I need to have things sorted out, need to be a better person and to try harder. Or that he is a God who looks at me with disapproval from a distance, wagging his finger at me. Or that my life is far too ordinary for God to be interested in it or in making any difference to it. Let the events of Christmas tell you of a different God, a God who acts in unexpected ways and uses unexpected people. Our final reading is the famous carol service reading from the Gospel of John, and I always feel that it has this sense of awe and mystery about it. Jesus is described as the Word. It tells us that he is God, that he was with God in the beginning and involved in the creation of the world. In him is life and light, and no darkness, even today, can stop that light shining. The unexpected circumstances around Jesus' birth were only the start. There was an unexpectedness to the way Jesus led his life, his healing and his teaching, and the way he challenged religious leaders. And no one expected that the way to save his people was for Jesus, the Son of God, to die upon a cross. And so John records that the world did not recognize him. The world is much the same today. Many do not recognize him. Many live their lives without reference to him and fail to receive his light and his life. And our expectation is all too often of a God who cannot understand our hopes and our fears, our sadness and our pain. And yet Jesus, the Word, becomes flesh. He moves into our neighborhood. He joins us in our humanity. He takes on a physical body, our frailty, our weakness, and he lives a human existence. He knows what it is to feel happiness, and he shares in our sadness. He is a real human being, And if our human life acts as a home for God's life, we see just how valuable we are to God as human beings. So if you need to adjust your expectations of God, take a look at Jesus and know that we can become children of God as we receive him and believe in his name. And contrary to what you might expect, it's not complicated. And the Christmas story shows us that you don't have to be extra intelligent or of a certain age or gender or race or religious background or have your life in order. With God, there are no outsiders. Everyone is invited in. After the year that we've had, with Christmas being as it is, one that no one expected, may the events of that first unexpected Christmas touch us anew. The first verse of O Little Town of Bethlehem ends with these words: "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." Indeed, the hopes and fears of this year are still met in the baby of Bethlehem. And may we know his love that casts out fear and find hope in him that maybe we hadn't expected this Christmas. Let me pray. Lord, we come to you as we are. You come among us then and now in unexpected ways. Help us to see you and seek you and find you, God with us. Amen.